All right. Now, I use the board all the time, and I hope I don't trip. Our podium is flat, and I turn all the time, and if I fall, I'll get back up, hopefully. Do you have a copy of this layout here? The website, our website's at the bottom of the paragraph that he's got wrote there. We got a Bible conference coming up November 13th, 14th, and 15th. We always do it the second weekend in November. This year, the theme is Salvation is of the Lord. Some people think God's done with Israel, but he's still going to be their salvation too. And he's our salvation, and looking forward to the conference coming up there. The information's not on the website yet. It will be there probably within the next month or so. Everything should be up, and the room where you can get a room at. And they usually give us pretty good rates down there. So love to have you come if you can. And at the same time, I'd like to also thank Ed, Brother Ted, and David for the privilege of them allowing me to come and speak here in this conference. I've enjoyed myself so far. Would have been a little nicer if I could have been here a couple days earlier and relaxed and then stayed a couple days. But sometimes you got a lot to do and you're always in a hurry. So I don't want to waste a lot of time with that. Let's get into the Word of God. Proverbs chapter number 2 is the verse that is the theme of the conference this year. I've met new folks that I've never met, and some I've seen down through the years, and enjoyed the time I've had to talk with each and every one of you that I've got to talk to so far. And for those of you I hadn't been avoiding you. I just, maybe our paths just didn't cross. Sometimes I'm not like Brother Ed. I won't just run up and say, "Hey, how you doing? I'm so and so and so." Sometimes I'll do that, and sometimes, most of the time, I don't. I don't think Brother Ed's ever met a stranger. But it is a privilege to be here. Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If knowledge and understanding comes from the mouth of the Lord, how many of you have ever had a conversation with him? You have to have his written word, don't you? And I told a fella a couple weeks ago, I said, I was not there when Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. Some 2,000 years ago, I wasn't there. Were you? Anybody you know living today there, way back then? So if you didn't have a book, how would you know he died on the cross for you? Thank God for his word, right? You have God's word. You can rely upon it. You can count upon it. And the Bible says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's not always that way with man, though, is it? You're talking to some men, you kind of wonder where they're located. I listen to gospel music some. I listen to a lot of preaching. But every now and then, I just want to hear some music. I'll flip on music riding down the road, and I listen to gospel music. I know it's, and I listen to some of it's not always rightly divided, but thank God I got enough wisdom to know the words to punch in there for them when they're not doing it right. But I heard a devotion. They gave a devotional. Charles Stanley gave a devotional. And I tell you, I was listening to him, and he said, Here's what the devotion said. He said people don't understand the Bible because they don't do what the Bible tells them to do. And I thought, duh. I mean, you're making that statement, and look at the people you minister to all the time. Yeah, I think about him. 2 weeks ago, my daughter's boyfriend was in at the house before we were going to church service Sunday, and we'd eat breakfast, and we were sitting there watching Charles. And I knew right behind him, Les Feldick came on. And we're sitting there, I said, look at all those people. And then Les Feldick come on. You ever watch Les with his little tables and his little group of people? I said, who do you think the world thinks is more successful? Who does religion think is more successful? They'll think the one with the biggest audience. But that's not always the case either, is it? Didn't the Lord take Israel, the smallest of all people? And what's what he's going to do with them? I believe we'll get to see all that. We're going to be in glory when all those things come to a head. But I'm glad that I know him. Aren't you? Yes. There are people who claim to rightly divide the word of truth too. But they don't even know where to begin. And not only that, you got a lot of people who claim to be grace believers. And they don't even understand Pauline doctrine through the book of Romans. How can you be a grace believer when you don't really understand Pauline doctrine? You can't. If you don't understand the book of Romans, you might believe and be saved, but you really don't understand the true doctrine of grace. The Bible says here, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." I want to share with you some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the next few moments now as we look into your word. I pray you'll help us as we look into your word by your spirit. May we see the things that are here for us. May this time be beneficial to each and every one of us, having spent this time together here in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Brother Steve was all around my verse last night, and I was wondering if he was going to say too much about what I wanted to say, but he never did, and I said, thank you, Lord. He stayed on his theme, and that was good. But, you know, there's been several men stand up, and they've been over the verse that I will end up with here in a little while. And none of them's really said the things that I desire to say about it, and I hope we'll get there and you'll get the truth of it. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit and the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. You know who Peter's talking to back there, by the way, by the verses. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, like Peter, with us through, how do they get it? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now, did he stop there or did he keep going? How do they get the grace and the peace? How is it multiplied to them? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How do they get the all things that the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? They get it through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. How did he call them? Through his word. Faith come by hearing? Hearing by the word. It's the word that does the work. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. I understand Peter's talking to who he's talking to, and I know you do. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And there was one of the speakers that was over here in this passage the other yesterday. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. Look at verse number 1 first. Let's do the first four verses. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He's stirring them up. How and why? Verse number 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy apostles, the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, you got to know something, don't you? That's got to be knowledge. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own flesh or after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And they're standing around saying, well, where's he at? And he said he was come, where's he at? And you have to remember, these folks know something. Hold your finger right here and look back at Psalm chapter number 110. Psalm chapter 110. Have you ever been through this psalm back here and looked and see what's going on through the passage and studied through it? This is a psalm about the Lord coming, pouring out His wrath, and coming back, and setting up the kingdom. This is that time period when He's pouring out His wrath. Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. You know, that passage, that verse of Scripture is repeated. It is quoted or placed in your Bible 6 different times. And then when it comes out and you see him standing is in Acts chapter number 7. So that's the 7th time you see everything come together. And you understand that when Jesus Christ, after he's crucified, he's buried, he rose again after 3 days, he goes to glory, comes back all in the same day. I mean, one time in the Garden of Eden, he says, don't touch me, I'm not ascended to the Father. A few hours later, you see him holding him by the feet. That's moving. You're going to have a body like unto his glorious body. That's traveling. Thank God. You won't have to have an astronaut suit to go to heaven one day. He comes back, he spends 40 days with him. He goes right back, he sits down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And on day 50, you understand that the pouring out of the Spirit comes, the day of Pentecost. 1 year later, Stephen is stoned. But now he sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. He's standing because of Psalms 110 and what this thing contains. Psalms 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The last part of the book of Mark, he's seated at the right hand of the Father after he ascends back. 1 year later, God's worked with his Holy Spirit. They reject God the Holy Ghost, and they stone Stephen. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hadst the dew of thy youth. I like verse number 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. He will not change his mind. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Now I tell you, it's going to be an amazing day when he returns and he pours out his wrath. When Stephen sees him standing, it's that time, Psalm 110. But instead of pouring out his wrath, coming back and pouring out his wrath, he ascends up far above all heavens, saves the very one, I don't see an eraser, so here goes the thumb. He ascends far above all heaven, and the very one that's standing there, Saul of Tarsus, he saves him in Acts chapter number 9, makes him the apostle to the Gentiles, and you have the dispensation of the grace of God started, which is the mystery of Christ. And you have that starting on. Instead of wrath, he pours out grace. And that's where we are today. All right? Now, go back over to 2 Peter. These people are looking for his coming. These people are saying, you have the book of 2 Peter. And I do understand that, by the way, the book of 2 Peter is going to be over here. And it's going to be helpful to these people that are going through this 70th week of Daniel. this time period of wrath. They're going to take this book, they're going to understand some things, and they're going to have the book of 2 Peter here. But you're talking about some people over here that's saying, hey, where's this coming? You know, where's all this going on? And Peter's writing to them. You're in 2 Peter chapter number 2. We read verse number 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And then he goes on, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant. They are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. And he goes right down through there laying that thing out for them. Then he gets down in there to verse number 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, that's plural, and a new earth. Well, the Bible says, Genesis 1, most of you know that verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, with a recreation, thus the heavens were created, or finished. Isaiah chapter 66, for as the new heavens, plural, and the new earth I will make, after the thousand-year millennial reign, you have in Revelation chapter number 21, and I saw a new heaven, singular, and a new earth. This thing has run its course. It's come out, and after the kingdom over here, you have dot thought. Y'all know what that means? Dispensation of the fullness of times. That's the way the thing lays out after the white throne judgment. All right, now watch what he does here in verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord, well, watch what Peter's telling them now, is salvation. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Long suffering. You remember what Paul talks about in his salvation conversion? Remember why he's first? When he talks about being first, he talks about what God does for him. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I couldn't quote it to you, so I got to turn and read it. Verse number 16. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. Thank God for that. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. After the Apostle Paul is saved, then those that are saved after him, he's the pattern in the long suffering, he says, the long suffering of God. Now go back to 2 Peter. You're still holding that, I trust. And he says in verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom. Who gives wisdom? God. Given unto him, hath written unto you. Paul wrote down some things. He wrote down the word of God. Thank God he did. You and I have it. Verse 16, watch it. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. You know, that's why you have to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed. If you just listen to preachers all the time, I hope you hear us and you look with us at the verses. But then if you got a question, you ought to go on home and study that thing out for yourself. Don't just take what a man says for granted. I mean, that's what they do in religious churches. If you got a question, sit down with it. Now, don't go to somebody and say, you know what I'm saying? If you got a problem with a preacher, something a preacher said, go to that man that said it. say, help me understand this. You said this, let me understand it. All you're doing when you go around, you know what you've done? That's what the devil loves. But if you want some peace in your heart and in your soul, if you want to know, if you got a question that needs to be answered, solve the problem. Get it answered. If I say something today that you say, sure about that. These tables around here, I got a Bible, you got a Bible, we'll sit down. Right? That's the way it ought to be. And I think that's the way it is with most grace believers. That's not the way it is with a lot of religious people, though. He says in verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. I think maybe Mr. Stanley may fall in that category. Which they that are unlearned and unstable risk. They just twist those things up. As they do also the other scriptures. The other what? Scriptures. They take the Bible and they twist them. They tangle them up. They don't get them straight. And Peter's telling those people, listen, you need to understand, Paul's talking about this long-suffering time in here, this grace. And folks, we're still under the long-suffering of God today. Look in the world. Look around you. We're living in a bunch of chaos and chaotic mess in the world today. And you know why? Because the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, is controlling the governmental systems of the world. We got a bunch of chaos going on. But it's not going to be that way one day, is it? When God takes back the governments of heaven and earth, it's going to be righteousness. And that's what you and I are part of. And that's what I'm talking about today, about what he's going to do with these governmental structures in heaven and in earth. He's given you that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in his word. And you can get it if you want it. You can dig through the verses because it's here and it's laid out for you. Now, if you will, I've already given you Psalm chapter number 10. You do know that that is prophecy. You look up here at the clock a minute so I can move on a little bit. It says, we looked at Psalm 110, so you know that word's talking about he's coming back. So if you would look with me at Revelation chapter number 10. Revelation chapter 10. I want to move on from time past, and I want to move on into where we are with us looking at this passage from here on. We'll go on into something different. But I want you to see the thing here that he's talking about. When Christ was to stand, according to the prophecy of Psalm 110, he was coming back to pour out his wrath. So Revelation chapter number 10 and verse number 7 tells you what's going on when that's concluded. You're in Revelation chapter 10. You're in this time period in Revelation where he's actually pouring out his wrath. You're in the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy in the book of Revelation. And you're at this time period where he says in verse number 7, Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. Now this is the seventh angel sounding the trumpet before the vials are poured out in the last 3.5 years. He says here in verse number 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Folks, there's going to come a time period. 3.5 years into this thing, when Satan is cast out of heaven, he's cast out of the heavenly places. Can you read that, can you? And his angels are cast out with him. They're cast out into the earth. In this time period right here, this last 3.5 years, these true believers of the nation of Israel, they're going to have to flee to the wilderness. They're going to have to get out of there. They're going to have to go back to where they were. You remember what happened to Israel when they went to the wilderness over there? God fed them with manna, right? We fed them with quail. Well, they're going to have to flee, and they're going to hide out, because this rascal coming down here, the devil, is going to have great wrath. He knows he don't have very long to wipe that nation out. I had a conversation with a fellow. He said, I just don't believe God's going to kill all. I don't believe Satan wants to kill all of Israel. He said, I think he's just trying to take as many people to hell as he can take with him. I said, you better go back and read your Bible a little bit. I said, there's a fierce battle going on in the universe. Oh, no, he's just trying to take a bunch of people to hell. He's going to come down, and he knows, now you think about it, he knows if he can annihilate the nation of Israel, if he can wipe out every Jew, God has nobody to give that land to. Because he promised it to the nation of Israel, God honors his word. He's not going to change his mind and give it to somebody else after you got a book where he said what he was going to do. He don't have a chance of wiping them out, though. But he's going to try. He's going to do his best. He's going to try to wipe them out and kill them. So I want you to see that verse, and I want to show you something in it, and then we're going to move on. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, those next four words, what are they? That has to do with prophecy. The mystery of God has to do with the law and the prophets. All right? Maybe I should have wrote that out. You know what that is, right? Mystery of God. Okay? All right, go with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 7. I think this was made known last night. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that wonderful? You know who the in whom is there, right? All right, verse number 13. In whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation, my friend, is that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. If you're sitting in here today and you've never been saved by God's grace, today would be the greatest time. Right where you're sitting right now, all you got to do is believe and trust in that for your eternal salvation. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust what you can do. Trust what he did. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again. Trust that. God saves you the moment you believe it. Look what he says. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. I just give you the gospel of your salvation. And also, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The moment you believe that, God just seals you. He encapsulizes you with the Spirit of God, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment. God's given you a down payment. He's given you a forehand knowledge of what he's going to do with you for you eternally, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased. It's already taken place, hadn't it? Purchased possession. You now are the possession of the Lord unto the praise of his glory. Thank God for that. Now, look at verse number 15. Wherefore I also, the first thing you got to do is be saved. Once you're a believer and you're a part of the body of Christ, he's wanting to tell you some things. Look at the next verse, 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What are you praying for, Paul? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? Purpose and intent? That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God wants you to have some wisdom. He wants you to have some understanding. He wants you to have some knowledge. After you're saved, he wants you to grow. He don't want you to stay where you're at. If you're in religion, you never get past salvation. Always, forgive me. And the Baptist, I can say the Baptist because that's what I was all my life till I become a grace believer. Always got you. Well, you ain't really sure. You got to come confess. I always tell you to come to the altar. I done it. I was a Baptist preacher for years. But boy, what a difference it makes when your eyes are open to the truth.
Amen.
It liberates you. It makes you free. And then I began to wonder about the altar, and I done some studying on the altar. That's a place where they give sacrifices. Never seen no blood shed in the... come on, you know. The truth will make you free. It will. You hear people say the truth sets you free? I know it's kind of comparison, but I search that out too. Every place you ever see that in the Bible is made free. In our song at the church, we say we don't say he set me free. We sing he made me free. A word play on words, but you know, I'm glad he did. I'm glad I am made free today. Now, he says here plainly that he wants to give you some knowledge and understanding. Go back up to verse number 9. Go back to verse 8. We read verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in, there's a wisdom word again. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known, he's giving you some more knowledge, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. I don't have time to go through this with you. You go through this passage right here, and you'll see where he says at the first part of the verse, he says in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, he names God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Go down through the passage, and every time you'll find he, him, himself, his will, and all down through there, it's talking about God the Father. The Lord Jesus is laid out for you clearly. If you go down through there and you take it out. Verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, which is God the Father, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the dot fought over there, he might... God the Father might gather together in one all things in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. So the mystery of the Father, the mystery of the Father is about gathering all things together in earth, the governments of the earth and the governments of the heavens, all in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have on the board for you so far the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ, which we're going to look at now, and the mystery of the Father. Oops. All right, go with me if you will now to the book of Ephesians chapter number 3. Or just chapter 3, you're in the book of Ephesians. Verse number 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. The mystery? Yeah, verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. There's the mystery of Christ, and it's this time period right here he goes on to explain, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed in his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's not a period, by the way, that's a colon. In the Christ, by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister. When we first begin to get into the dispensation of grace, and I begin to understand grace, and I begin to try to study and learn, not long after that, I had a fellow that was well educated. I mean, boy, he had been to some classes, and he had some degrees. He stood up and walked out in the middle aisle, and he said, "You mean to tell me there's more than one gospel in the Bible?" You'd think a man that studied that much would know that, wouldn't you? Well, nevertheless, he moved to Tennessee. I don't know if any of you's in Tennessee. He's somewhere in Tennessee now. But he left. He took his family and moved to Tennessee. But people question things when you can study the Bible. You know there's more than one gospel in the Bible. What verse was that? Verse number?
Seven.
Thank you. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effects of working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints," is this grace, this particular grace, the dispensation of grace, the grace of God, "given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." He's talking again there about the mystery of Christ. "The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God." People talking about that it wasn't hid. Well, that verse right there says it was hid in God, who created all things. You know what the all things are? Get Colossians chapter 1. Hold your finger here in Ephesians. Get Colossians chapter number 1. Verse number 16. Verse 16, "For by him were all things created," and you know who that is, right? If you go to verse 14, it tells you, there's that "in whom" again. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God." God's up in heaven, up in the third heaven. You don't see God today. He's invisible to you. That don't mean he don't exist. "Who is the image of the invisible God, that the firstborn of every creature. For by him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible," what you see on earth, "and invisible," that you don't see just like where God is. "Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." And those all things run all the way down through the passage. Verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things," all those governmental positions, "unto himself, by him," I say, "whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Now the all things there, go back to Ephesians chapter 3, the all things there are the thrones, dominions, principalities, by all those governmental positions in earth, and the thrones, dominions, principalities, and power, all those things in heavenly places. Okay? Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 9 again. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things," all those governmental positions, "by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." The manifold wisdom of God. You and I, folks, now have the knowledge and understanding of what God's going to do eternally in the heavenly places. I heard Brother Richard say it before, and I say it quite often. He said he heard J.C. O'Hare, read J.C. O'Hare said, the most shocked creature in the universe when the mystery was revealed was the devil. I say that often. I thank God for that. Aren't you glad that you understand something about this book? And if you don't know that today, I hope that you get involved in this book and you learn what we're talking about right now in this hour. And we're going to give you another verse. And then after we read a few verses, then I'll be through. Verse number 11. He says, "according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, having made peace," Colossians chapter 1:20, "by the blood of his cross, to reconcile all things unto himself." That's the purpose God had. "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, by your faith?" By the faith of him. It's his faith. His faith. Is he faithful? Can you count on him? Can you trust him? Colossians chapter 2 And this is the verse that's been jumped all over. And this is where I want to tie things together. Colossians chapter number 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, Paul talking, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul said, as many as not seen my face in the flesh. Let me ask you a question. How many of you folks ever seen Paul? You looked at Paul in the face, in the flesh. He's giving you some knowledge today. So you ain't never seen him. He's talking to you too. You a believer? Verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Well, what's these words now? Steve was giving them to you last night. And unto some riches. Thank you. All riches of the full assurance. You know what assurance is, don't you? Of understanding. I think we're supposed to be talking about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. See that? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. We just talked about all three of them. The mystery of God, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of Christ. Watch it. Verse 3. In whom are hid. Now, are they where you can find them? This is like playing hide and go seek. You don't think it's funny, but I got a daughter back there who taught her dog. She got a miniature poodle. She taught that dog how to play hide and go seek. Oddest thing I ever seen in my life. We come home one day and she said, watch this. She said, hold him and cover his eyes. She'll go hide somewhere in the house, and then she said, after I tell you, to set him down and say, find Amber. And she set him down and she said, find Amber. And that dog run through that house and he didn't stop till he found her. I thought she'd set it up where he knew where she was. So I said, all right, now you go hide where I tell you to. You know, that rascal, he kept looking till he found her. Now, he says, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures. You see this thing on TV, how people search for treasures, hidden treasures, buried treasures, sunken treasures. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to know some of that stuff? It's right here in the book. You got to search it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you get in this book and you search it out, folks, you can learn some things about God, about His Word, about the mysteries. The mystery of God, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of Christ. And folks, we're living in the dispensation of grace. You listen to me today. You can be established. You know the difference, don't you? From being established and being established. Established is where you put a pole in the ground and you pour about. I had some folks kept backing up and knocking my mailbox down. Every time I turn around, I got me a telephone pole about that big around. It's about 6 foot long. It sticks out of the ground now about that much. And I dug a hole in the ground that huge, and at the bottom I dug it that huge. I poured about 10 bags of concrete around that pole. It ain't never been knocked down since. It's been beat up a little bit, but it ain't never been knocked down. You see, you can be just like that in this book. You do not have to let some preacher with all of his education twist you away, explain the Bible away. You see that verse? In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. My friend, listen. If you understand the mystery of God, prophecy, dealing with the nation of Israel, and their end, all of prophecy, what it winds up to be, the kingdom. You understand the mystery of Christ and the dispensation of grace where we live today and the truths from Romans to Philemon. You understand the mystery of the Father, which is putting all things in Christ. Friend, listen, you don't have to be moved away from that truth, and that's where this whole book focuses. It all leads to that point. So if you take this blessed old book, you don't have to let nobody push you around. Don't be moved by the speech of some cunning, crafty preacher. Study these truths. Satan, in all of his wisdom, thought his plan of evil against God couldn't fail until God revealed his plan and purpose to Saul of Tarsus, who left that Hebrew name of Saul and took on the Gentile name of Paul and became the apostle to the Gentiles, full of wisdom and knowledge. And I think many preachers today think they're right, think they're successful, and think, boy, look what we've got, look what we've done. And one of these days, can you just think about their end when they stand before a holy God? So I'll leave you with this. The blessed old book. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is truth from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. You ever thought about that second verse? I think that second verse is good. Listen to the words. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who've gone to the stake and quoted with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but there's one thing I've found to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, then there's something wrong with you. Thank you.